We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and its work, especially in regards to the first century, the founding of the church, and what a task it was to not only communicate to a diverse group of people, but to accept different cultures' practices. I remember a lady who used to go down to Brownsville, Texas every winter. And one day she put on a pair of red shoes and a group were going to go into Mexico. And someone said, you can't wear them red shoes. In Mexico, prostitutes wear red shoes. Well, the two really don't have anything. I mean, there's no sin to wear red shoes. But yet some people look at it that way. And there's 100 things in our culture that would insult other cultures. There were 100 things in the Gentile practice that were acceptable to them and acceptable to God, but were abomination to the Jewish person that looked at them. And really, the New Testament is written to settle differences that people have. And some of them make no difference at all to God. You know, like the Jews says, man, you can't eat that meat that you took out of the marketplace. That's been sacrificed to honor some other pagan god. And others thought it was perfectly all right. And Paul thought it was all right, too. And that's the type of things that the New Testament scriptures work out. Once it presents the gospel and what you must do to be saved, the rest is how to live, how to resolve problems acceptably to God. 2 Peter 1:3, and these are the things we need to remember. You know, we really need to get self out of the way. We need to get out all the things that really don't matter and concentrate on the things that really do. His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So it's there, it's written down, and it's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you can depend on that. So this is what we need to stand on. This is what we need to be united by. Not what I think or about what I feel, but what the Bible says. So, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him, there's that gift of knowledge. We have knowledge from the eyewitnesses who saw and heard and whom the Holy Spirit had given the ability to recall exactly what Jesus said and done and to know exactly what the will of Jesus is through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of wisdom. So we have that knowledge, firsthand testimony, testimony of the prophets and teachers inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the written word, the words that they wrote. We have that knowledge. So through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, and there again, can you imagine that? We make a big deal of accepting Jesus into our heart, but yet, isn't it an amazing thing that He's going to crown us with the same excellence and glory that He has? He's going to let us partake in His divine nature. That's amazing to me. By which He has granted to us precious and very great promises. Can you imagine how important that was to someone who was getting nailed to a cross because he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Can you imagine how important the knowledge of those promises were to a mother or father whose son was being stoned because he believed that Jesus was the Son of God? That's why he gave people the knowledge of those promises. Number one, that we would covet them, that they would mean more to us than anything else in the world, that we would give up anything else that would prohibit us from obtaining those that precious things. And the Spirit gave it to those people in a glorious way, and we have it even in a more perfect and glorious way right here. It's accessible every day. We don't have to wait for a Peter or Paul or John or a Philip or a Barnabas. We have it written. We have it engrafted. And having that we, so that through them you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. And I don't know if we appreciate the escape that's been granted us through our faith and obedience to Jesus Christ. To live eternally in a place filled with demons and Satan himself, and all the evil, corrupt people that have ever lived. We escaped that through the gospel, obeying and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. I think that's an important part of that message. A workman. And one of the things of the gift is ministry. And that's not what I'm doing right now. It's what I do every day. You know, the deacons were called originally to serve people who were hungry. And pure religion is to visit the widows and the orphans and the poor. That's work that needs to be done. One of the gifts, and I think we're going to read it in just a moment, is helps. The Spirit gives a gift, a spiritual gift called helps. And that's work. That's you being able to know how to help and be willing to help and have an aptitude for helping people. Man, you don't know what to do? Read the bulletin. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This is what the Spirit helps us to discern. Discernment. That's a gift of the Spirit, remember? To discern spirit. Is this true or is it not? That was a gift, and it's all here. We don't have to wait for an apostle or a prophet or inspired teacher. We have it at our fingertips. How do you rightly divide the word of truth? Better pray for wisdom. And that's a promise that's been granted to us. If you pray for wisdom, God will give it to you. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to be Einstein, but you'll know enough to gain eternal life and to live a godly life. That's what he's promising you. 2 Timothy 3:15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. You know, the first disciples continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And, you know, it's all here. Everything is in here for you to gain eternal life. The keys, the way, the things that you must do, it's all right here. Everything. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. You know, I've needed reproof once or twice in my life. And isn't it good that we can be reproved and we can regroup and we can renew and we can recommit daily, hour by hour, if needed? I know one time I was trying to break a terrible lifelong habit. And I tell you, I can remember praying, "Help me, Lord," almost continuously for several days until eventually I didn't even think of that thing. That's how it works. And I did that because I knew it was wrong because the Bible told me so. And it was inspired from God. For correction, it's kind of like reproof. For instruction in righteousness, your description of righteous living would be different from probably just about anybody. The Jews' description of righteousness would be different from the Gentile. So we have apostles, and we have prophets and teachers, and we have inspired word, so we know the way of righteousness. It's indisputable. It's undeniable. That the man of God may be perfect, that we can perfectly fulfill God's will and His righteous requirements. It's all there. Study. That we may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, it's amazing. That's a powerful statement. And it's a lifelong foundation of life. And it's interesting that he chose that way. Furnished unto all good works. Not furnished to be a Billy Sunday. How many people know a Billy Sunday? Yeah. He was a very popular preacher in the early 20th century, about 100 years ago. But we're not all, he didn't call us to be Billy Graham. He called us to work, to equip us to work on daily things. 1 Corinthians 12:8, and this is kind of, I'm just going to summarize what we talked about. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Another, faith by the same Spirit. And this is not the kind of faith you and I have. This is the kind of faith that Jesus said if you had it as a grain of sand, you could move a mountain. And James said, if you have the gift of faith, you can heal the sick and forgive them of their sins, and their sins would be forgiven. It's that kind of faith. That was the gift of the Spirit. And it was needed. Man, people were dying on crosses. They were being burned at stakes. They were being stoned. They were being thrown out of the houses. They were being thrown into prison. Their families were broken up. They were being scattered, hunted throughout the world. They needed faith. They needed to see faith working in other people. Another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning the spirits. To another, divers of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Now, this was a problem. Some wanted the showy things. Well, the Spirit gave me the gift of wisdom, and I don't get to speak that much. But look at this guy. Boy, everybody likes to hear him speak in tongues. Whatever. Anyway, those are the things, those are the different things that the Spirit makes a difference in people. The Spirit gave different things to different people according to His judgment and His wisdom. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:27, now ye are the body of Christ. We read, you're one body. We're one church. And members in particular. I'm a particular member. You're a particular member. We're all particular members. But God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Only the 11, then Matthias, and then Paul. That's all the apostles there were. No one today is qualified to be an apostle. We didn't witness Jesus' baptism. We weren't with him through his ministry and to his death and witness his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. None of us have seen that. We believe it. We have seen it. So none of us are qualified to be an apostle. Secondarily, prophets. So we're talking about the church, how it was organized, how it was set up. And we're going from the top to the bottom. Secondarily, prophets. You know, Mark might have been a prophet. Luke might have been a prophet. James, the brother of Jesus, might have been a prophet. Jude. Certainly Barnabas and Philip. And if you're here this morning, I led from Acts 13, chapter 1. There was several others named who were prophets and teachers in the church. So apostles, the New Testament prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Now, that's the important work of the church. After that, after all these, come the miracles, the gifts of healing, helps, the one I talked about, that's a gift of the Spirit. Then the gifts of healings, helps, governments, how to rule the body of Christ. Can you imagine the nightmare? I remember Dale's class on Corinthians. What a mess that church was. What an unruly body of people. But the Spirit gave people the ability to join those people all together. And we're going to read a little bit later how that works from our letter of Ephesians. Governments, how to be impartial, unbiased, how to make righteous determinations, how to govern according not only to the letter but the spirit of the law. That was the gift of the Spirit. And diversity of tongues. So that's kind of a ranking by the Holy Spirit, how the church is organized. Romans 12 is a similar chapter that says similar things about the Spirit that Paul wrote in Corinthians. In the third verse, for I say through the grace given unto me, so Paul was very humble about that. It was not, I am an apostle. It was, man, what a grace he showed unto me. And really how unworthy I feel. But he granted this grace unto me, and he gave me this job of apostleship, and I'm going to do it. That That's the kind of person he was. And that's the kind of attitude our elders and bishops and overseers should have and emulate. And far as I know, I say amen to the job that they're doing humbly. And I think in an unbiased way. I know they try to make decisions based on the Word of God. Anyway, for I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think highly of himself, more highly than he ought to think. And I tell you, what a basis for fellowship that is. Without that, I don't think we could be friends. I really don't. How could we stick together with arrogant people and really feel connected to them? So number one, don't think so highly of yourself. And I say that probably means don't say think so highly of your opinions about things, about what's important. Use this to determine what is important and what opinions should be. So don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think soberly. You know what you're saying. And know what the impact of what you're saying is going to have on somebody else. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body. And all members have not the same office. You know, so if you're jealous of Paul or you're jealous of Peter and those guys, Matthew and them, the Holy Spirit, God chose them and the Holy Spirit empowered them. And they didn't have an envious job. They paid a price for holding that office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. We got to remember that. In Christ, we are one body. And every one members one another. And I hope we realize how important fellowship is and how important it is to be connected closely to your brothers and sisters. Do you know how important one lost soul is to Jesus? When one sheep gets disconnected from the group, that's important. So it's important for us to be cognizant of one another, and it's important for the one to know how important it is to be an active part of the body. We need to assemble together on the first day of the week, every week. We need to surround this table every first Lord's Day. We need to go from house to house. We need to celebrate each other's lives. We need to share in each other's sorrows. We need to care and bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what it says. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. So if you had one of these gifts, it was because God, through the Holy Spirit, gave them to you. Whether prophecy, then let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You know? Do it. You got that? If you got the ability to teach, teach. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. Service. That's what that word means. It's not, that doesn't mean some guy in a robe and a gown who has 15 LLDs, DDDs, and all. It doesn't mean that. Jesus said it even means, you know, you see a guy working out in the street and he's hot and sweaty. Go give him a cup of cold water. He might not want it. He might throw it in your face. But do it. You know how, what a difference that kind of stuff makes. What a difference it is that somebody opened the door. Or someone always lets you go first. I mean, just things like that. Pick up somebody's trash in your neighbor's yard. Visit somebody that's having a rough time. Talk to somebody that's lost a loved one. And just listen. A lot of hungry people. I forgot what the number is. It's going down. But something like 8, 9, 10% of the children in the United States go to bed without a meal. What should we do about that? Well, there was people in the early church who were given the gift of the Spirit and they knew how to do it. And they could do it cheerfully. They could do it often. They could do it and not even think anything about it. He that teaches on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, you know, see a brother in error and call him aside, or see a brother that's doing a great thing and you call him aside. I appreciate that. Hey, look, let's talk about this and see what the Bible says. And do it. You know, I've had people rebuke me that I really appreciated. And then I've had people rebuke me where it just, they didn't know how to do it. But nothing I have is through my own doing. Nothing I know about life and godliness is something I came up with. It's a grace given to all of us. He that ruleth, do it with diligence. That means keep at it. Even though it's hard. I don't know any ruler or head of a company or a head of a family that said ruling it and governing that body, whatever it is, was an easy job. But be diligent about it. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Ephesians 4:1, which we read this morning. And I'm just going to read the admonitions that I want. Bill read it for us in a way which is easy to understand. You know, that's something we need to do. To read from a point of understanding what the message is. And we need to practice that as readers of the Scriptures. We need to find a meaningful passage, determine what that passage really is saying, and then read it in a way that that message is clearly heard. But Ephesians 4, all these diverse kinds of people we've been talking about, different members and all that, want you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Boy, that's a big statement. He's called us His sons. He's called us royal priesthood. He's called us His adopted family. He has called us joint heirs with His Son, Jesus Christ. He has granted unto us precious and outstanding promises. He has promised us more than we could ever hope for or imagine. walk worthy of that calling. Walk with all humility and diligence. We've talked about that. It's been mentioned in several lists that we've read. And isn't it amazing that that's always towards the top? To walk humbly and to be gentle. Do you like harsh things? Medicine's good for you, but some of it's pretty harsh. Jack's shaking his head. He's had some pretty harsh treatments. But, you know, when it comes to rebuke or exhortation, we can be gentle about that, and it makes that medicine go down a whole lot better. With patience, bearing with one another in love. And eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's an important message here. Brother John Morris gave a lesson on this very thing. It's very good. Did a lot better job than I could do or anybody else I ever heard. But you know what? There's one thing that binds us together. That's the Spirit. I would guarantee you that if we were to list the top 10 or 20 things in life, that we would all have different lists. I would imagine if we would list the top 10 things or 20 things in Christianity, we would have different lists. We have different opinions about this scripture, that scripture, and so forth. But we have one thing in common, the Holy Spirit. We have all been given the Holy Spirit as a gift, as an indwelling presence in our lives. And we are to maintain that spirit of unity with the bond of peace. So if I have at odds with you over something you said, we need to resolve that peaceably. Or just say, you do what your conscience says, I do what my conscience says, and accept that. You do not have to be just like me. I don't have to be just like you. We all need to be just like Jesus. And we're all heading that way. That's a glory. If you know that your brother is studying and meditating and practicing all these things we've been talking about, and you know that he has been immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and has been given the Holy Spirit as a gift, an indwelling presence in his life, you need to accept the fact that he's growing. He needs to accept the fact that I'm growing. Our goal, in the end, is to, what does it say exactly? We are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ. And so we gain the stature, the measure of the full measure of Jesus Christ, the fullness of Jesus, until we all obtain, this is the last thing, a unity of faith. We don't all have the exact same faith. We have the same faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the way, but we all have different things that we think are right or wrong. You know, we could make a list. What are the things that are right and what are things? And those lists wouldn't be exactly the same. And, you know, in the first church, it was the same way. Well, these Gentiles, they need to be circumcised. Well, they had a meeting of apostles, prophets, and teachers. And they came to, and they prayed for wisdom. They prayed for understanding. And they determined, no, you don't have to be circumcised. That was an old covenant thing that's been done away with. But out of that old covenant, fornication, idolatry, the eating of blood, those are forbidden. They've been forbidden from the very beginning. So that's how they did it. And the Holy Spirit was a part of that. And that's exactly how we need to do with each other when we're have disagreements. That's a beautiful passage, Ephesians 4, those verses. And we're out of time. One more phrase I'll read. Speaking the truth in love. Boy, if we could always speak it that way. I know I've been guilty of being harsh and maybe overbearing. But to be able to speak the truth in love. And I think I learned a little about that in speaking with a granddaughter that I had who's left the faith and living a wrong course. But man, it broke my heart. And I so wanted her to understand where she was. And I could have been hellfire and damnation like Billy Sunday and some of the other guys are. But I just spoke from her, from broken heart. And I wanted her to understand. Jesus speaks to us in that same way. He wants us to understand what danger we are in and what great promises lie before us if we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is to confess that He is the Christ, the Son of God, to make a commitment to change the way I'm living and live according to the way He and the Spirit has pleaded with me to do, and then to be submit to immersion into water. Unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, this is how we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the new birth. This is where the transformation begins. This is where the glory and the excellence of the Lord will begin to shine in your life. This is the beginning of the journey that ends the gates of heaven being said, welcome and enter in and receive a crown of life. It begins here. And if you haven't begun, we invite you now to come forward as we stand and sing our last number.